Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the JT and Looney podcast. Wow, a little March Madness edition. A little Shohei Ohtani edition. Wasn't counting on that one. As we're coming on after John Calipari lost to a 14 seed as Kentucky. Oh, and Tommy did it again in his press conference. He threw his kids under the bus. He said they were young, and he never said I. It was all about them, the kids who missed shots. Kids couldn't make shots. It was never, I didn't coach well. It's my fault. I didn't do my job. Hey, our kids miss shots they normally don't miss. Or our kids. And they are kids because all he does is recruit one-and-doners to go to the NBA. He's got billions in revenue in the NBA. But man, oh man, March Madness once again.
He's the opposite of a lot of people we know on social media who can only say I. The queen dies and they're talking, make it about themselves, right? Or a great athlete dies or entertainer and it's about themselves and a picture of the person who died instead of saying RIP. But Calipari, no, it's all about them. It's all their fault.
You can help people again, which is what this podcast does. It's a way to help people who don't know the media the way you do. But when someone dies, and I fall victim to this all the time, someone dies, I look for a picture with me and the person who died. This is the person who died. This is me with that celebrity athlete. Here I am. So this is good. I think everybody should need to learn the Looney lesson. When someone passes away, A, you don't have to tweet about it. You can make arrangements to go to the funeral or send a donation. But if someone passes away, the first thing we do should not be to run and show a picture with us and the deceased.
Right. And if you show a picture still and you feel like saying something and putting it into words, never say there are no words, because that's how we do it. There are 165,000 plus words in the English language. Words is how we do it. So never say you're lost for words, especially if you're a talk show host. And if you're an actor, never say you're at a loss for words. It makes it look like you can only say things that are on a script. And avoid using a personal pronoun when you're talking about a person that died. So don't say, I remember when I was with the person who died. No. Talk about the person who died and avoid talking about yourself. You're live from the JT and Looney podcast, where we love to talk about ourselves and use personal pronouns. And we're hoping to continue to talk about Bet Online and continue our relationship with them. Let them know you're a friend of JT and Looney to get your 50% sign-up bonus. Put down $500. They'll give you $250. Bet Online has been one of our best partners. And this is a big week for sports betting. Head to Bet Online for all your sports wagering needs. You can do it from your home PC or your phone. Just type in the promo code BLEAV, as in the Believe platform that promulgates the JT and Looney podcast, BLEAV, and get that 50% sign-up bonus. Not only can you bet on March Madness, there's draft bets you can make. NFL draft coming up as we head down the stretch towards that. Cleveland Browns currently plus 4,500 to win the Super Bowl, so you can bet on NFL futures, as the wagerers call it. Put down $100 on the Cleveland Browns to win the Super Bowl, and then they go win the Super Bowl, and then you take home, $450,000. How about that, Mr. Fung? Bet Online, your March Madness and NFL headquarters for sports betting. Head to Bet Online, where the game starts.
Are you going to race to LAX or the private jet terminal to meet Ohtani's plane when there's breaking news LA? The best of the reporters, which you're one of them, would meet the plane to try to find out more of the story. According to ESPN, reps for LA Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani have contacted law enforcement authorities and asked them to investigate a massive theft of money, $4.5 million, from Ipe. That's how you pronounce it. Ipe, his best friend and interpreter, who allegedly, with air quotes, if you're watching, allegedly took $4.5 million, wire transferred it to an illegal bookmaker, not a real one. Like, I live in Vegas where we have actual casinos that will take your $4.5 million. And you can't bet on credit in Las Vegas. You have to have the cash. as you go into the casino. Mm-hmm. How has the reaction been in Los Angeles with this story as it's developing?
Well, it's huge. It's huge because even people who aren't interested in sports and the news stations have to figure out how to say all these names. And of course, it's huge. And I know people, a lot of times when we don't have the answer, we need conspiracies in America. As of course, you know, it's a, we can't blame this one on the COVID vaccine. But I will tell you this, you know, the interpreter's American. And, you know, Japanese people tend not to, Japanese from Japan don't know anything about the NFL. So if there's NFL betting, we know it's not Shohei Ohtani, right? Because people from other countries cannot get to wrap their head around American football, as they call it. We just call it football. So if there's any NFL betting, we know that Shohei Ohtani didn't have anything to do with it. Most likely he probably didn't, but how much did he know about paying the bookmaker? And this is, it's getting complicated since stories are changing already.
Well, here's the way I see the story. First off, it does not pass the smell test on any level. So right now, because the interpreter spoke exclusively to ESPN one day, and then the next day changed the story completely. And the next thing, he fell on the sword, which is a big thing in Japanese movies over the decades, falling on the sword. And that's happened from Bruce Lee movies to other great movies. It happens in a lot of movies here.
The honorable way to go down. Yes.
Yeah. So today I talked to an actual convict, a reformed convict, on this topic to prep for the podcast. I talked to a baseball insider off the record and a sports talk host in Los Angeles, all on this topic overall. And it came down to the fact that it doesn't pass the smell test for a couple of reasons. So let me just tell you, the lawyers who are involved, the Dodgers lawyered up very quickly in Seoul, South Korea. Okay, not in Beverly Hills, and in Hollywood.
Where they would have
Ventura.
Preferred to have been.
Wow. Yeah, so they lawyered up there. All of a sudden, this guy is just destroyed, kicked out of the organization. But from a couple of people that I talked to, here's the problem for Ohtani. First off, this is his best friend. This is not a friend. They are, from people I've talked to, they are inseparable. Yep. They are brothers. Everything they do together, from business to appearances, whatever they do together.
Number Let me just two, tell you, too, from having immigrant friends and relatives,
yes,
someone who teaches you about your new culture, which is very difficult, moving to a new country, and helps you with every nuance of a brand new Western culture when you're moving from Eastern culture, helps you save face so you don't embarrass yourself, becomes your very best friend.
And I think this, according to ESPN, Tom, is the biggest smoking gun. Ipe on Tuesday evening told ESPN the same and laid out his story in great detail on the record, including saying that Ohtani had sat with him and the two transferred the money in $500,000 increments in several different settings. So he said that, and then the next day the story changes. He's not available via Dodgers PR. Ooh, that's good. I love this. I love when PR has to come into the locker room and say, everybody out, get away from the locker. And then the story changes.
On a note there, do you know who the Dodgers PR is?
I think I do.
We do. Yeah, yeah. We do very well.
Yeah, okay. I think I do. And on Thursday, a source close to Ohtani gave an explanation for changing the storyline. Okay, does it seem like Watergate? Here's the Watergate section of this. Ohtani's handlers tried to determine what had happened and initially changed the story that this was a massive theft. So here's what I know. I don't know if Ohtani bet on baseball. If he did, he's done. He's done, because my friend Pete Rose, who I love and gave me my big break in my career, his career's over when it came to any relationship with the Reds, the Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball. I'm not here indicating that Ohtani bet on baseball, but if you look at the bets and what people are looking at, international soccer, football, okay, fine with that. But to say that someone stole something from you when you knowingly, possibly gave them the codes to the wire transfer, helped them transfer the money, because there's no way that someone could go into your bank account, which is worth hundreds of millions, and take money out without you knowing, unless they have the code and the password. And Ohtani's the dumbest guy on the planet. So the story does not pass the smell test.
Yeah, it's rough. And, you got to check and see what sports are bet on, as I mentioned. And, if there's, as Ohtani's learning a new culture, I don't know how close he was paying attention to American sports or international soccer, but that's hard to say because everyone pays more attention to international soccer than Americans do. But, I would say that's where you find, was there baseball betting? That's going to be huge. I mean, isn't that the cornerstone of this?
Yeah, I talked to my dad about this, and my dad's not aware of the details behind this. But, my dad did work for the federal government his entire career. And I told him, as he was just listening, that once the feds get involved, it's game over because they don't care, as Jeff Paxton said, if you're John Smith or Shohei Ohtani or Ipe. They don't care. They want to find out where the fraud is, they want to run an investigation. And they're going to come to their own conclusion. But what I find here now, coming out of the Dodgers, who I'm furious opened up the season with real games and then go back to spring training, another topic for another podcast. Now, Major League Baseball would like this to go away. Oh, the Dodgers 1,000% want it to go away.
Well, good
Ohtani
luck.
wants it to go away. And the feds are like, we don't care if this is baseball. We don't care if this is racketeering. We don't care if this is the mafia. We don't care if it's entertainment. We want to find out who's at fault here, and they'll find out.
Yeah, it's not going away. It's here to stay. And that's what is the disappointing part for Dodger fan, for Dodger fans. Not that this is the most important thing, but no lives were lost here, but and there was no assaults, physical assaults or sexual assaults, but the Dodgers and their pitchers.
Yeah.
It's from Trevor. You got Trevor Bauer and Julio Urias.
Urias.
And who are just great, great. I mean, they go out, they get the best man available, and then the best man available doesn't realize what he's got.
Well,
Or
for
their
this,
best friend doesn't realize what he's got and screws it up.
well, the interesting part for me going forward is I'm not a journalist. Yeah, I'm just a
Right.
bloviator behind the microphone. But there are journalists who are out there, and it's now their job to take over the story. And there's a company
Yeah.
called ESPN that has Outside the Lines. CBS has 60 Minutes. As I joke, Scott Pelley and Bill Whitaker should be on this story here, investigative journalism, because journalists, because the Dodger flagship radio station and Dodger insiders are not going to
They can't fucking
chase
talk
this
about it.
story
You know, it's,
down. They
it's it's
can't
yeah.
talk about
Well,
it.
the Dodgers partially own the flagship in Los Angeles. So that leaves their own radio station and with an inability to talk about it. They couldn't say Trevor Bauer for the last 3 years. And now they couldn't take any phone calls about him. And now what do they do with this? The world's most famous baseball player and this big scandal. And how much can you talk about it on your own flagship? Not much. You mentioned 60 Minutes. That might be the best because they don't have baseball.
Yeah.
ESPN can't invest to go too far into the waters. They got baseball. And so that's why also the NFL is always very clever in trying to have dip their toe in every single media available. So ESPN and NBC and ABC and CBS and Fox don't investigate any wrongdoing on any of their news shows into the NFL. Because and Amazon, because they've got they're in the NFL business. So this is going to be interesting to see who picks, and TMZ can pick up on this. They don't have baseball.
TMZ is going to run with this.
Yep.
TMZ, you're right about that.
And th that's
Remember,
what they're saying in their meetings. There's a lot of people in media who can't cover this. We can.
with Deflategate, not Spygate, there was someone deflating the football. The
Right.
allegation was never that Tom Brady was going into that room and deflating the football
Right.
so the ball would be better for him and he'd be more comfortable with it. It was the allegation of who was the deflator. Now we know that Ipe, who's the interpreter here, it's fascinating to me because what I love about this story too is the irony is that the interpreter who gets paid to speak is not speaking. Oh, the irony is the interpreter who supposedly stole money from his best friend and his employer all of a sudden now can't speak and won't speak on the record. So the guy who gets paid to speak and translate now can't speak in his own language. Reminds me of when I was all over Sammy Sosa in front of Congress and he didn't want to speak English. Right. And you said, no. Remind everybody what you told me.
Oh, yeah. Everyone had that wrong. Everyone had that wrong. Yeah, if you're going to testify before Congress under penalty of prison, you got to do it in your native language, because if you screw up in English and say, well, it was the language, people will say, oh, yeah, right. So if you do it in your own language, you can't screw up. And if I was testifying in Mexico, even though puedo hablar español, even though I can speak Spanish, I would, if I'm under penalty of perjury, I would have to do it in English. Too important. So I was all in on Sammy Sosa's side, because Americans who don't know any other language have no idea how that works.
Well, when Ipe speaks in front of Congress in the next 6 months, do you think Ipe will be speaking Japanese, or will he be speaking English in front of Congress?
He went to American high schools and American colleges and grew up in California, in Southern California, went to school in Orange County within a baseball throw of Anaheim Stadium. Yeah, he's a California boy who happened to be born in Japan, but he's a California boy.
All right, so let me tell you. So I told you about the insider and the people that I know who know him indirectly. Now, let me get to what the convict said. Who's a convict and went to federal prison.
Okay, is this OJ? Were you talking to OJ about this?
I wasn't talking to OJ, but he goes and has happy hour right next to where I have happy hour in Vegas. So I normally see OJ every 2 weeks, even though I don't go up to him. Okay, so first thing my buddy told me is, the first thing is Ipe takes the rap. He just, loyalty, this is friends. This is you and me. I'd take the rap for you. You'd take it from me. So I can understand that. He had an opinion when it happened. Then they went back. He talked to, wink, wink, the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, whoever, the Guggenheim group. And he took the rap and said, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to fall on the sword. I stole from my best friend, which is complete bullshit. Absolute garbage for anybody who's watching, listening to us, or listening to anybody else say that he stole from his friend. Didn't happen. This is the golden goose. This is his life working for Shohei Ohtani. He was not going to steal behind his back, but that's one of it. The second one is they bet together. Okay. I said, we'll explain that one. Well, they both gambled together. You know, Ohtani bet. And remember, illegal bookmaking. They weren't betting through a legal app and betting in a casino.
Right.
This is wrong.
Weren't supposed to be doing anyway.
Absolutely. Especially mostly in the state of California. They bet together and they could both get in trouble. And then the last thing he said, it's going to be hard to crack this case. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he made a really good point. He said, as long as Ipe doesn't want to talk or is basically going to say, I'm the guy that stole the money, case closed. It's going to be really hard for the federal investigators to crack this case unless they can find out forensically that Ohtani was in the bank, Ohtani was signing some documents, and Ohtani knowingly did this, and there's a chance that could happen. So there's a whole bunch of webs to this story.
And another question, would federal authorities question Shohei Ohtani, will Ipe be his interpreter?
I really think the Dodgers left him in Seoul, Korea. I don't even think the Dodgers, I don't know what happened, but they got beat in game two.
Oh, you don't think he flew back? Ipe flew back with the Dodgers? Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah,
I can get the answer to that question.
Yamamoto again pitched his first game and got blown up in the first inning. Maybe they left him back. Maybe they let him walk from Seoul to Japan. That's the other great Dodger pitcher. But look, let's make this clear as we begin, because you're close to Dodger Stadium. You can actually ride your bike to Dodger Stadium. And I'm a diehard Yankee fan. And I understand how big Judge is and Bryce Harper and all the great players are in baseball and how important they are. There are like 10 players in baseball that are big. Ohtani's bigger than all of them combined. And I'm a Judge fan and a Cole fan. This story is so big because Ohtani's too big to fail. And that's why I think this could get really good and really juicy. Because Major League Baseball, the league, is invested heavily in Ohtani. The Dodgers are invested heavily in Ohtani. The country of Japan. The country is invested heavily in there. So there's a lot of reasons why a cover-up could be here, because he's too big to fail. And I can see this happening, that, you know, this guy, Ipe, could take the fall for this, go out, and we'll never hear from him again, and then baseball gets on their merry way again, and no one can get to the bottom of the story.
Yeah, and one important thing, even in Eastern culture, and that would be also saving face. You never want to be embarrassed, and that's why Ipe could really do him a great favor as his best friend, just to you know, take the fall. Also, you know, you never want Ipe to be broke ever again for the rest of his life and need to write a book.
Right.
So he will have to be taken care of in some way, shape, or form if he's taking a fall. Right?
Yeah, well,
we never want him so poor that he has to write a book.
Well, you mentioned loyalty, and there was a guy by the name of Sammy the Bull Gravano. Mm-hmm. Sammy the Bull flipped state and federally on a guy named John Gotti, and John Gotti told him everything. And the reason why he became such a valuable witness to the federal government is no one could debate if Sammy the Bull, a gangster, a murderer, one of the worst people that you could ever imagine, once he flipped on John Gotti, everyone said, okay, it's closed. And if you watch the Gotti documentary, that's when they had him, because there was no defense for Gotti and his team once they had the wiretaps and Sammy the Bull and his number one conciliary, his number one guy, flipped on him. And the number one guy in the world for Shohei Ohtani is Ipe, his translator, his best friend, who someone told me off the record, they're inseparable. They are brothers. They don't do anything without each other. So for someone all of a sudden to say, I'm going to go into Shohei Ohtani's bank account, I'm going to steal the code to it, I'm going to take out $4.5 million without him knowing, without anyone knowing, and I'm going to send it to a bent nose, a legal bookmaker, and think I'm going to get away with this. Oh, this is probably, someone's probably sitting in a federal investigator's room tonight saying, oh my God, put me on this case, please. Put me on this case. I want this case, because it could be a really big slam dunk for the feds if these guys got sloppy along the way.
Well, also what they need is from the federal level, the guy that got Sammy the Bull to flip, who's that guy? Bring him in. Not that this is important enough. I don't know if this is important enough to bring in that guy. It's important enough to us. I don't know if it's important enough to the future of democracy in America if we get to the bottom of this. But they do know what they're doing. Those guys in the ties at the Justice Department. And you got to hope that Ipe knows what he's doing as well when it comes to keeping his story straight.
Well, this is a special edition of the JT and Looney podcast. It was supposed to be about March Madness, but the Ohtani story is much bigger. Mm. And Alden Gonzalez, the latest on this story, which I sent you before the show, really has a lot to do with the inaccuracies of what happened in Seoul, South Korea. And it's such a juicy media story about when the Dodgers found out and what the Dodgers were able to do to shut down that locker room. And the developments, I'm reading this from ESPN.com, the developments this week came as federal investigators are examining the operation run by Southern California bookmaker Matthew Bauer. The wire transfer payments were sent from Ohtani's account to an associate of Boyer's, according to multiple sources that spoke to ESPN. IRS spokesman Scott Villard confirmed to ESPN on Thursday night, as we broadcast this podcast, that it is investigating Ipe and Boyer. There is no evidence that the IRS investigation was triggered by a request from Ohtani's representatives, because now they are saying that this was theft. So the IRS is involved. There's investigators involved. They don't care what anyone says. Remember, that's the point of doing this quick podcast. They don't care. You could say whatever you want to ESPN, whatever you want to say to local investigators or people in journalism. They're going to figure it out. And my gut feeling tells me this. I'm hoping I'm right here. And that's why we do the podcast for posterity, to look back on the podcast years from now. I hope that Ohtani did not bet on baseball, because there's no doubt in my mind he's a gambler. He's a big time gambler with his buddy. And they were probably gambling together. And maybe Ipe, the translator, had a bigger gambling problem. But I would never come on this podcast or on my radio shows and say Shohei Ohtani bet on Major League Baseball, because I watched what happened to Pete Rose and I watched how it ruined his legacy. And I hope that doesn't happen to Shohei Ohtani, Tom.
Yes, you do. But these are young guys. You know, a lot of times guys who excel at a sport don't always know the sport as well as you and I. They're also younger. Who knows if they know about what happened with Pete Rose? We're acting like who wouldn't know about that? Well, depends on age.
Mm-hmm.
And look at their ages. And they weren't around when the Pete Rose scandal was percolating. They were sucking out of baby bottles when that was happening, if they were alive. So that if they don't know about the legend of Pete Rose, but you know, when you come into Major League Baseball, you do get that talk, right? And there still is.
Yeah,
we don't know if it's in every language, but it's in every clubhouse. Is it in every language?
Yeah, it's in every language because there's Latino players, there's Japanese players. So everybody knows this. And that's one of the things Ipe is saying, the interpreter, is that they didn't bet on baseball because he was well aware of that. And again, I'm not here to suggest he bet on baseball, but if he bet illegally and wire transfers went through a Southern California bookmaker, because here in Vegas, they're not going to take that bet. You're not going to get $4.5 million in debt without someone behind the glass, someone behind the window, letting that go out to a gossip site, someone knowing about it. There was a story this week about Bruno Mars, that the MGM had to basically defend Bruno Mars because it was a rumor that he could be in debt to the MGM for gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the MGM came out and put out a really nice comment on that and talked up big about Bruno Mars, and there's no issue there, which is fine. That's what you should do when you have someone on the payroll that you really count on. But getting back to this for a second, how about the biggest problem and the biggest issue we didn't talk about? If you're a professional athlete, other than Tom Brady, who played till 43, Jim Brown played till 29, how about not gambling while you're an athlete professionally? Why can't you wait from 22 to 33, not place a bet in a casino with a bookie on an app, and then after that, when you secure your millions, bet all you want?
Yeah, and I have the answer. It's age, and that's what it is. Yeah. It's age and maturity, not realizing what you've got, even though you've worked so hard to get it. And why not just buy the Lamborghini after you're done in the NFL and have someone drive you everywhere while you're drinking and snorting cocaine? No, you got to get behind the wheel of a car and ruin your entire career. How many people have we seen do that? Kill themselves, kill somebody else, and kill their career. Uncountable number of guys have done that, and that's just that one crime or that one misdeed that got, not that that's a misdeed, but they, you know, guys do other misdeeds when they're young. They never register their car. They don't get a driver's license, and because they're not realizing what they've got. And they can't really, or, you know, crazy mm-hmm. sexual stuff like Trevor Bauer. You can't wait and do your kinky stuff after you retire. So it's just one of those things where, yeah, it's young, not realizing what you've got. It's immaturity.
One more thing, if I can read, you know, I hate reading my radio show, but I can read my podcast.
Right.
I won't do this on the radio. From the ESPN column that was blogged today. While sports betting is legal in nearly 40 states, it remains illegal in California. Government-regulated sports books require bettors to pay up front for their wagers, while illegal bookmakers accept bets on credit. Boom, boom, boom. Bells, bells everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then ESPN goes on to say, sources close to the gambling operation told ESPN that Boyer dealt directly with Ipe, the translator, who placed bets on international soccer matches and other sports, but not baseball, starting in 2021 when Ohtani was an Angel. Remember, he's an Angel at this point. A source said Boyer was aware of the name on the wire transfers, but chose not to ask any questions as long as the payments came in. However, the source said Boyer allowed people to believe Ohtani was a client in order to boost business.
Oh, well,
so this illegal bookmaker.
That's very Southern California, name drop, whether it's true or not. Right. But I didn't see that article. What were there bets on the National Football League?
As of here, as I'm saying here, it was soccer in this column here. But not on baseball, soccer matches, and other sports.
Okay.
Other sports, it said. So, yeah, again, I'm not here to talk about it's all. This is all about one thing.
Well, that's why one thing about Shohei Ohtani, I guarantee you has no interest in the NFL. So if there's NFL betting, we know that that's not Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, and this guy, Ipe, the interpreter, was making between $300,000 to $500,000 a year, which is a job for life. And all the other side deals, wink, wink, that he had on the side, all the other side deals back in Japan and other side deals here. So in conclusion, as we wrap up this podcast, I think that the what I'm paying attention to most, and I'm going to count on you for this, because you're in L.A., and you're going to know a couple of things here. If someone gets fired in the media in L.A., not disappears. I watch a lot of documentaries where investigative reporters disappear. I'm just talking, if we find out that someone on the radio,
Nicaragua, no one's going to disappear.
If someone loses their job in L.A. in sports radio, let me know. Okay. Because that's going to be a really big hint on what's happening here. I want to see if the story has legs now that the Dodgers come home and they go back to spring training, because they opened the world of baseball in Seoul, South Korea. They went 1-1 against the Padres. Then they come home and we pretend that they didn't play those two games, because baseball doesn't start for a while here. So they're 1-1 as the Yankees and the Rangers and the Mariners haven't played a game yet. And will these baseball writers, who are now sick and tired of spring training in the Cactus League, will they dive into this? Will Bob Nightingale, friend of the show,
John Paul Morosi.
He
could do a great job on this. He's a Harvard guy. Good guy, by the way, Harvard guy, and named after the Pope. And
so but
it's tough. It's tough for those guys to dive in too deep. They only want to go into the pool up to their knees so they can keep their job.
We need Jeff Passan, who wrote the Laker books, right? We need someone like that to dive in there and get it done in. We need an investigative reporter that's going to be able to go in there and just say, look, I got a great career. I've made a ton of money. I've written 7 books, 5 are bestsellers. I'm going to chase this story down.
Can you get Gabe Pressman on the line?
I couldn't resist though.
Yeah, well, it's funny you said that. Before the podcast, I Googled investigative reporters and Anderson Cooper's name came up. And I don't think that Anderson is going to leave a yacht trip with Andy Cohen in the Maldives to chase this story down.
Well,
so I don't think we're
going
to have to count on Anderson
Cooper. But I don't know if I'm stereotyping. I don't think he has a sports gene. I've never heard him talk about sports ever.
Yeah, well, you're going to be the key to this, because you got a big job in L.A., in the news, and you're really good at sports. You have a podcast,
and I have connections, as you know. I did text to find out if Ipe flew back with the team, but I'm not sure if they're still in the sky. I didn't get a response yet.
Please don't do that. I don't want to lose you as a friend. I don't want Dateline coming to my house saying, Tom Looney was your partner for 14 years on the radio. We haven't found him yet.
And you didn't know fill in the blank, right?
Yeah. Right. So, look, I think it's a big story. So we started off the podcast with John Calipari. By the time we finish this podcast and you get it up, with the miracle of pressing buttons and technology, I think that the president and the athletic director at Kentucky should meet the plane at the tarmac back there in Kentucky. And John Calipari should have to get fired on the tarmac where the team, this happens to a lot of coaches over the decades, a lot more than you think.
The team
gets in the luxury bus and John Calipari gets in the Suburban, the black Suburban, and they take him back because he's relieved. I don't want to see anybody lose their job. But if John Calipari has his job by Saturday, I'll be shocked as Kentucky flamed out.
Some of the other coaches over the years who've gotten fired on the tarmac?
Mostly college football coaches.
Lane Kiffin,
Dennis Allen. Lane Kiffin got fired in the building. Dennis Allen, great guy, got fired as we flew back from London and the plane landed back in Oakland as we flew back from London. But, you know, I want
to
make
to mention, too, a big Joe McDonald got fired outside of Blimpies back in the day. That's with our friend Big Joe, rather than at the radio station.
Well, I didn't get fired because I had a mole who told me something. So I made sure I was the guy making the phone calls. That's for another podcast. Well, I have a treasure trove of podcasts in the future, but I want to get to the finish line with my real jobs first. Okay. I enjoyed the podcast here, man. I appreciate that you popped in. You're in your loony mansion. I'm in my humble abode here in Summerlin, Nevada. And thanks to everyone for listening to the JT and Looney podcast.
Love it. Thank you for listening to all 34 minutes and 34 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast, powered by our friends at Bet Online, where the game starts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.